Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
I believe God is guiding us in order to get the most out of our faith and faithfulness in His Word, and to give witness to His power of promotion in the life of His redeemed ones. And regardless of what is happening or occurring in the kingdoms of this world, God is speaking a word unto His bride, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're still feasting upon this theme that God has given us for 2022. It is the year of recalibration for heavenly promotions. And Psalms 36 and 8, the NIV Bible read, "They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights." Well, I want you to take your Bible. I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5, and we're going to be unpacking verses 17 through 25. We have a parallel account of this in 1 Chronicles 14, verse 8 through 17. Just to give you a little background here, David provides us a great witness to what the sensitivity and perceiving of God's direction looked like while he was experiencing seasons of promotion in his life. David has just been established as king of both Israel and Judah. A divided nation has now become a united nation under the leadership of King David. He has just experienced his third time of being anointed. Initially, God instructed the prophet Samuel to anoint David, and then Judah anointed him as their king. And now, by all the tribes of Israel and Judah coming together as a united kingdom, they have anointed David. I believe that the first priority of David after this divine directed promotion was to capture and establish Jerusalem as the center of national life for God's people. We see that in the context of the text in verse 6 through 15. We see David here capturing Jerusalem. You see, according to Israel, Jerusalem was the most important city in the world. And so we see that once he got this promotion, he had God's agenda on his heart. He had God's will on his heart. I believe there's some lessons that you and I can gain on being sensitive to God's will and seeking God's direction. Because that's very important when we begin to reap the blessings and the favor and the rewards when God begin to speak a prophetic word concerning our life. It's not just something we go and sing about and fast, but we have to believe with our heart that God is going to be working his word in some degree of this area of our lives as a church and as individuals. So let's look at David as our witness today. The Bible say in 2 Samuel 5:17, it says, "Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim." Whenever you hear the name Philistines in the Bible, always think about a thorn in the flesh. They were like a thorn in the flesh to God's people, constantly trying to keep them from moving into that which God had called them to be. So there's a lesson I believe we can gain here on David's reaction and response and how these Philistines are responding to this united kingdom. He understood the power that flows through the anointing of unity. You know, David has served over here in leading Judah for 7 years, and now he's bringing these two nations, these two people groups together because that's God's will. God's will for his people to be united. David was not simply entertaining or practicing a self-exaltation ceremony in the eyes of the people under his leadership so often that is practiced in our present hour of one quest to single out a person for self-greatness. When David was being anointed over these Judah and Israel, it was not about him. It was about God's will. It was about what God was speaking relative to his people. So whatever motivation is behind a lot of the practice that we see in the present day of the church, of these ceremonies that people are carrying out when people are still doing their same job, they're still basically under shepherds, their pastor, but they're coming in and they're taking them through these rituals and a lot of this stuff, man, I tell you what, you look in the New Testament and you say, well, where is this out in the book of Acts, all this stuff going on where men are being, you know, exalted and made to seem as they're so great. The last thing I read in the Bible was Jesus was looking at ways for men could be chief servants, how they can look for opportunities that they can serve one another and wash one another's feet. But no, this is part of the culture that we're in today. Social media and everything, they're looking for what? Overnight fame. They're looking to get on one of these TikTok or whatever and do something, and all of a sudden it go viral and they get all of these likes or whatever, and all of a sudden overnight they become a great, well-known person and rich. Bottom line, it's about getting money. And I believe that same spirit has come over in the church. Instead of we are magnifying in front of people what it looks like to be a servant, not in the flesh, not so that, you know, we are operating like the world, but what it means to be a true servant of God, the leadership of the church has to model that before the membership. We there in fivefold ministry offices, we have to model that to them. But I think the model we're seeing now is models whereby one person is being exalted, you know. But the bottom line, I'm going to be honest, I'm a pastor, I'm in fivefold ministry. God kept me from that stuff. I told someone the other day, God always protected me from that stuff. When I went to big meetings and they would call down you to do all this stuff, I kept getting that check in my spirit that, oh man, that's all about me. That's all about me shining. That's all about me getting more money. And I would not yield to that. You got to be sincere in your faith now. If not, you're going to go for that stuff. Why? Because it become all about you. It's about what you can get or how you and your family can live a certain lifestyle and be promoted and all this. Well, you got to guard your heart from that. Well, this is not the case with David. David is being promoted. David is being anointed because, first of all, it was God's will for David to be able to bring his people together and to be able to lead his people as a united body. Notice two key elements of David's promotion. We see this in verse number 12. Listen to this. So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and that he had exalted his kingdom. And I get this now, for the sake of his people Israel. So it was for serving God's people and not for self-serving. David understood whatever this ceremony looked like when they got ready to anoint him. I don't believe it's all what we got going on today. People laying all on the floor and they quit, you know, reciting certain things over them, got them looking like, you know, the Pope of Canterbury. I'm just teasing. I laugh at that stuff. You know, they got their big hat on and they... Let me stop. I don't want to offend nobody. I'm just having some fun. I don't know what it looked like, but I don't believe it was all about people exalting David. I believe David understood this is God behind this. This ain't just me joining and coming under a certain person. And since I came under them and gave a certain offering to their church, now they're going to come to my city and let me stop. First of all, David knew that he was anointed to serve God's people. And the second thing I noticed, if you look at verse 17, listen to what the Bible says. Now, when the Philistines heard that David was anointed. Now, no, did you get that? When they heard that they had no problem him being anointed by Samuel the prophet back then. They had no problem when he was anointed over Judah. But oh, he's anointed now to what? To a united kingdom, to people that's going to operate with unity. And so what? They are insecure. They are afraid. So the second thing I said, key element of David's anointing was it made the enemy uncomfortable and insecure in their role as being an enemy of God and his covenant people. The Philistines are afraid. They are afraid because of that anointing that God had placed on David that brought Judah and Israel together as a united nation. This is the enemy that God had even directed Saul to root out, but because of his disobedience and his selfishness, he did not follow God's specific guidelines. Now God is raising up David so he can deal with these Philistines. Now that God has anointed David as a king of a united kingdom, they have a greater power to carry out God's will, to destroy the works of the enemy, and to lead God's people in God's direction as an army of one. And man, I tell you what, unity is about spiritual power in the church. When we operate as oneness, it's not trying to control people or trying to clone people to look a certain way, to act a certain way. Unity comes by the Spirit of God. Anybody can fabricate a scene that look like people are unified and all of that, but man, unity comes because there's an anointing there and people are yielding to that anointing. They're submitting to that authority of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is bringing the people together so they can be of one heart and one mind. Nobody have their personal agendas. Nobody's out to be great. Nobody's out to exalt themselves beyond measure as if though they are the greatest of the great. No, it's about servanthood. Listen to Psalms 133, how David understood the power of the anointing. It says this: behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Notice that word, not just be together in unity, but to dwell, to live, to remain, to abide consistently in a spirit of oneness. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord God commanded the blessings, life forevermore. Notice, God just spoke blessings. Hallelujah. He commanded those blessings. Why? Because he saw that spirit of unity. Now notice that David responds by going into his stronghold. That's what the Bible say, the latter part of verse 7. And David heard of it and went down to his stronghold. More than likely, this is the cave of Adullam, what David had purchased and he would use as his headquarters for being able to go and regroup and plan and strategize. And we see that in 1 Samuel 22:1-4, a cave which David was secure in. We can say this: he knew where his hiding place was. We do not look for a cave for our stronghold, but rather a secret place. And that's what Psalms 91, the Psalms that we all love to quote. Listen to what the Bible say. Well, verse 1 and 2 says this in Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Listen, when you know that God is your hiding place, he's your protector, he's your shield, he's the one that gives you security, you know how to talk. That's right. That's what the psalmist say. I will say he is my refuge. David said, this army is not my refuge. This place I'm in is not my refuge. All my military might, that's not my fortress. God is my fortress. And then he goes on to say in verse 3 and 4, surely he will save you from the foul snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Hallelujah. What? God's faithfulness. And then the Bible says in verse 7 and 8 of Psalms 91, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment upon the wicked. When you know God is your hiding place, you know how to make the right confessions. You know how to have peace. You know how to rest in God's faithfulness. And you have to know that everything around you may be collapsing. Everything around you may have poor testimonies of the trouble in their life and all this. We don't go around confessing the troubles. We confess our triumphs. We understand that trouble is part of the human experience. And so we're not shocked when things happen in our life and trouble show up. We know that we have a God who promised us that he will be in the midst of us, even in our trouble, and that he will deliver us from all our affliction. We have the grace of God ruling and reigning in our life. Well, Paul put it like this to the New Testament church when it comes to unity. He said, be completely humble and gently, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Notice how this unity of the Spirit and bond of peace comes. It's because what? We're making every effort to be completely humble. That's why you got to be careful when people start exalting you, because automatically when you get exalted, you know what happens? Arrogance show up. God, when he brings promotion in our life, he don't bring promotion so people can praise us, so people can sit down and act like we're the almighty. No, he brings promotion because he got something he's trying to accomplish and carry out in the earth. And you and I just have to be in a position where he can use us for his glory. And whenever God uses us, it does not breed pride. It breeds humility. Because you know in and of yourself, that's only the grace of God. And God will check you now when you start operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and then all of a sudden you start getting a little creative there. The Holy Spirit will let you know, back away from that. You're bringing too much attention to yourself. I call it spiritual cockiness. Yeah, you get a little cocky, and the Holy Spirit just nudges you. Step away from that. Just do what I'm doing and direct people's hearts and minds to me and not to yourself. You know, it's only the grace of God. And anytime God uses us in any way where he manifests and demonstrates his power, it should bring humility on the end, and it should bring a holy reverence that God, you know what? This is serious business. This ain't nothing to be playing with. You want to reach and touch people's lives. You want to do mighty things in people's lives. And by your grace, you put me in a position where I can be a vehicle fit for your use. It should breed humility on the inside of our heart. And so we see here, David understood the power that flows through the anointing of unity. He's not just going through a ceremony so people can give him another title. But he recognized that God is doing something in the life of Israel, his covenant people, and God is using him to be an instrument in his hand so that he can serve and minister to his people, the covenant people of Israel. But let's move on. The second thing I noticed when I began to read through this particular text here is that verse 19 says, "So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." The next lesson we can gain is this. He inquired of the Lord first for his direction and then for his deliverance. You see, David did not allow his stronghold to become his place of security in order not to act in faith, but a place of prayer. This prayer is not a prayer of someone in fear or doubt, but one who understands his role and responsibility with having been anointed to serve God's people and fulfill God's will in the earth. It is a poor witness to the church or for the church to allow external conditions to place us in what we call secure places and not use these places as opportunities to inquire of the Lord, to pray and seek God's next assignment and using us in his service and for his glory. This pandemic should have been a time when we did pull out and go into our homes and things begin to shut down. That was time for prayer. That was time to seek the face of God. That was the time for us, especially those of us in spiritual leadership, not to be listening to what the world is saying to get direction. Thank God they're giving us insight to some of the things that's happening, but we serve a God who we have to go to in prayer, and we have to ask the Lord, Lord, when is it that you want us to go coming back together as a church? And when you're praying, God's going to let you know in your heart of heart, you're not just going to do what somebody else doing because you feel a little intimidated because everybody else started back church and I hadn't started yet, but I need to go with. No, you don't be led by that. You got a heart for God. You go to God in prayer. You go in that secret place and you talk to God, and God will give you a confirmation. He'll give you a peace in your heart of hearts, and you'll be able to meet with your leadership team and y'all get in the word and talk, and each one share what God is speaking, because they should be doing the same thing. They should be seeking the Lord. Why? Because God has a purpose and plan that he's carrying out in the earth, and that is not determined by what is happening in the kingdoms of this world. Had David not inquired of the Lord, he would not have gained the revelation through his experience that the God he served is the master of the breakthrough, of the Lord of the outburst. We see that in the next verse. Once he asked the Lord, he asked two questions. Shall I go up and fight against them? And God said yes. And then he asked another question. Will you deliver them in our hand? And God said yes. And then in verse 20, the Bible said, so David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal Perazim. God gave David a witness that David was hearing from God, a confirmation. He saw the results of it. But where did it begin? When he set his heart to go back to the stronghold, not to sit there in fear and trembling and try to ask him what's going on, so I can know whether I can leave out. But he used it as a place of prayer. He heard from God. He obeyed God and he realized that God is the master of breaking through on things. It's like a water coming against a dam and breaking down that dam and just glushing in and breaking in on that city. Well, that's the power of God. And that's how God shows up in our life. We call him the Lord of the breakthrough, or the Lord who breaks out, or the Lord who has a set time that he's going to cause that situation to change in your life. And while you were praying, while you were seeking God, you were doing what David was doing. And God already has on his divine calendar in heaven the day that you are going to have that breakthrough. So don't you give up. The power is not in you. The power is not in your ability. The power is in the authority of heaven. God is the master of breaking through in our lives, and he will give witness to that manifestation of his power, and he will cause a spiritual event to occur. Not only did David experience natural victory, but if you notice in verse 21, the scripture says, "And they left their images there, and David and his men carried them away." Now, it's very interesting because in 1 Chronicles 14 and 12, it gives us a deeper insight to how they responded to these false gods when they went into the Philistines' camp and destroyed them. The Bible says the Philistines had abandoned their gods. Oh, notice, they had abandoned their gods in 1 Chronicles 14 and 12, and David gave orders to burn them in the fire. That's what you do with demonic things. You don't take them to your house. You don't say, I don't care if it's gold. You don't take it there and say, well, I'm going to use this gold. You don't have to go to the devil to get his stuff. David done burned all that stuff. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 19, Paul was in Ephesus, and while there, he was preaching the word. Notice, he was preaching the word. And in verse 11, the Bible says this, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Now notice the word unusual miracles. You know, it's sad how people are so gullible. People get on TV, everything about money. I'm telling you, it's about money. They start selling these prayer cloth and all this oil and all this stuff. People think, well, you get this oil, it's going to do this and it's going to do that, and get this prayer cloth, and they'll go look right here in Acts. Now, do we see this as a normal pattern throughout the New Testament of Paul taking handkerchiefs and aprons and sending them out all over the place? When they came and got these handkerchiefs and aprons, nobody had to pay for them. Because you know why? The rich going to get them and the poor won't be able to get them. No, it wasn't about money. It was about supernatural miracles, unusual signs and wonders that God did through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And we see the Bible even used the word unusual miracles. You've been sending out your little handkerchiefs and all this. People need to hold you accountable. Come back and say, well, you know, I got that handkerchief, nothing happened. We got to hold people accountable because we got a lot of false stuff going on in the body of Christ, especially when it comes to these titles of apostle and prophets. Man, I tell you what, it's time for us to just get real and start saying we need to hold people accountable. There needs to be some proven fruit and witnesses of people getting up talking about what the Lord said and people not holding them accountable. And then in that same chapter of Acts 19, and then verse 13a says this, then some of the itinerant Jews, that was like traveling Jewish exorcists, took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirit. You see what it is? The desire to have power. And so these people who saw what was happening through Paul, they tried to duplicate it. They tried to go out and mimic it. And get this, they weren't even born again, weren't even led by the Lord. And then we know the story, if you read on, they went over and tried to cast this unclean spirit out of this man. And all of a sudden that spirit said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you in this? And the Bible said they left out naked and wounded. But what is great about this is verse 18 and 19. This is what I was getting to. Listen to how the people around them responded. Because when people start seeing the power of God, they didn't sit down and worship Paul and try to make a shrine and altar to him. And Paul wouldn't allow it, no way. But they just saw what? They saw God. They gave God the glory. And in verse 18, the Bible says, also many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. See, they weren't running after greed. See, if they were running after greed, they would never burn up those things. They would have said, well, I can go to the pawn shop. I can go get some money for this. But they were totally through with that. But notice the scripture says, also many of those who are now believers. See, when you become a believer, there are some things or practices that you and I may have been engaging in that God is going to begin to deal with us about, because a lot of those things, they have this connection to satanic, demonic type activity. And God wants us to come out of that. And God wants us to do what these Christians did. They brought that stuff and laid it at the apostles' feet, and they burned it. They didn't take it to the palm shop, and I'm just using that as a figure of language here. They didn't take it down there to try to get, man, it was valuable stuff. The Bible says, and it came to about 50,000 pieces of silver. But thank God Judas wasn't there. I know Judas would have got mad. That old undercurrent spirit. He probably said, why waste this money? Let's go get money. Greed in his heart. And then verse 20 says this. So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. So everything was centered around the word of God. It wasn't centered around a person. It was centered around what? The prosperity of the word. It was centered around what? Evangelism. People's lives being changed with the message of Christ. The third lesson I believe we can learn is this. He was consistent in his inquiring of the Lord and sensitive to different instructions. You know, sometimes some Christians, they get a breakthrough, get a victory, and they just go sit down, act like it's time to take a break. No, you got to get ready. That enemy will raise his head again. And that's what the enemy did. The Philistine did. The Bible says in verse 22, then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall not go up, circle around behind them and come up on them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly, for then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistine. And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Gerzah. Had David assumed God used carbon copies of his experiences and answers to prayer, then he would have missed God when the enemy raised his head the second time. However, he brought the same heart of faith before the Lord, and once he had received counsel or instructions, he made the necessary adjustments in order to experience God's power working through his favor, in their favor. We got to be very careful, because sometimes people will even go into church and say, well, oh, this is what I did over there. And all of a sudden they are missing God. You see, we cannot put God in a box. God will not fit in our human boxes. God will not get this. God is too big for us to ever try to place him in some little box and thinking that if it's not done like this, it must not be God. Hallelujah. And so here we find that David was open to go right back to prayer and hear God and become sensitive to the Spirit of God. And God gave him a whole different strategy, but the same victory. So this is where I say rigid religious people and those who come up with that fear tactic, we never did it like this before, which is basically a spirit of stubbornness, which is like a spirit of witchcraft, and try to place God in a box. Or sometimes they don't want to see God come in and start leading the church because, oh, we're a congregational church. The people lead the church. No, the Spirit of God leads the church. The Word of God leads the church. And if we all are operating in God's Word, if we are following the Spirit of God, we're going to all go in the same direction. Why? We're seeking God. We're praying. We're coming out saying, God, we need to have your direction for our church. And God will honor that when he see a people unified together and seeking his face. But religious people don't do that. They don't want to come out to prayer. They don't want to call their friends up and try to get people on their side so they can try what? Try to stop a move of God. But let me tell you something. You can never stop a move of God. I cannot stop a move of God. No demon in hell can stop a move of God. When God is ready to do something that he's already ordained on his divine calendar, he's going to get it done. Now, he may have to find a willing person who's willing to obey him, and that's not hard. Oh man, you don't know my God. My God can do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think through the power that he works in us.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. We're located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.